Romans 16, verses 1 to 20. I commend you, your sister Phoebe, a servant of the church Centrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, who I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, greet my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has been working very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And the second reading is from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do that."
This is the word of the Lord, and we say, thanks be to God. Thank you, Peter, for picking up particularly that first Bible reading. Probably one of the hardest Bible readings in the entire Bible. With all the names, well done. As we come to the end of Paul's letter to the Roman church, we see a long list of greetings he wishes to extend to those who are a part of that church. And we read of all manner of people, of people who have given self-sacrificially to God's people, those who work hard and who hold church services in their homes, who have given their lives to save Paul, and who all the Gentiles in many areas need to give great thanks to them for what they have done for the church. We have the first convert in Asia, those who have worked hard, those who are his relatives and been in prison with Paul, and many others who are good friends and have been faithful servants of Jesus with Paul in his journeys. It's quite a list, but it tells us a lot about Paul, his life, his ministry, and also what is important. When we read Paul's letters, they are about encouraging, correcting, explaining, and so they mainly have to do with understanding the gospel and how it relates to the community or communities he's writing to. However, it is clear that there is a lot more to the ministry of Paul than just going around and proclaiming the good news and teaching people about Jesus. As we read in the book of Acts, we see how Paul traveled around, starting churches all over the place. In those stories, we see a glimpse into a few of the relationships he develops in those places and how he went about doing his ministry. But it is here at the end of Paul's letters that we get the personal greetings he wishes to send to individuals he hasn't forgotten and who were important to him. And Romans has quite the list. If we had have continued, both Timothy and also Tertius, who is the scribe of the letter for Paul, also get in on wishing personal greetings. And we can see the real heartfelt affection which exists between the people who are writing the letter and to those who which the letter is being written to, particularly individuals who they know are there. It paints a beautiful picture of people who have been of great importance to each other in their pasts, but with a love and affection which continues and endures on. As important as teaching is to the job of a minister, as one who encourages, corrects, guides, leads, and all these things, they are all done in the context of fellowship and friendship. I guess it is as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 2 and 3, if we have not love, we are nothing. And if we have not love, we gain nothing. Without the bonds of fellowship and friendship, there is no meaningful ministry. And so as we've been here, Lizzie and I have forged friendships and have enjoyed fellowship with you here and around the place. Basically, if you're here, you're probably here because of those bonds with us. And we're grateful for each and every one of you. You will be missed by us. Just as we see in this list of personal greetings of Paul, the deep affection Paul had for those he had formed bonds of friendship with, so too are the affections we have for you all. They are deep and profound. And if God wanted us to go alone and travel the lonely road of ministry with no support, so be it. But my, oh my, the road of ministry is so much more a joy with good company and support. As Paul traveled from province to province, town to town, and having established churches to churches, he forged enduring bonds, which he never forgot, nor did they diminish in his heart. And so it is with this affection, and it's the affection which Jesus has given between his people. I call this affection, which stays with us, hearts and engraving on my heart. Anyone who is important to me, your life, your name is engraved in my heart. I call it engraving because it never fades or diminishes over time. I have the affection that I had for my friends in primary school. It's still as present with me today as it was then. The same is true with Sunday school, high school, youth group, university, Mount Isa, theological college, the St. Oxlians, Ayr, and now Ingham. Trust me, if I have affection in my heart for you now, if you come knocking on my door in 20 years' time, even if we've never seen each other since, it'll be as if no time has passed. When Lizzie and I moved to Ingham, it was the first time that we moved somewhere together. We sensed a call to Ingham Uniting Church, but we didn't know anyone. You've got to be willing to give up what you know and step out in faith, knowing that as you give up your life, God is going to give you His life for you. And that is a life with far greater blessings than the life you would have lived for yourself. Not that I didn't say a life that is easier, because God is also in the business of growing us, and that's not always easy. But as we stepped out into our new life in Ingham, we were blessed by God with many wonderful people who came into our lives to journey with, and we've gathered more and more friends along the way as we've been here. So thank you. And now our ministry here is fast coming to a close. We're trying to make the most of it while packing and all that stuff. But it is coming to an end. Because God also has a new beginning for us too, which we know very little about realistically. We'll let God show us that when we get there. But coming to the end of a time in ministry is quite a strange sensation. Particularly when you've been somewhere for 8.5 years. This is the longest I've lived anywhere since I left home after finishing uni for the first time. But it's a strange season to go through. There is so much you still want to say. There is still so much I want to encourage you in, and I desire to continue on in the relationships which have been founded. And so Paul, having sent all his personal greetings, then reminds them. And so this is what is important to us, is relationships. And what we see in this list at the end of Romans is how important those relationships are. But Paul, having sent his personal greetings, he then reminds them of what he believes is of most importance for the Roman church to be reminded of, which, if they heed this advice, means that they will continue to go well into the future. Romans 16, verse 17. Watch out for those who cause divisions. Jesus calls us into unity. If you've forgotten how to maintain unity, then see Romans verses 12 to 15, which we mostly covered at the beginning of this year. Next, watch out for those who put obstacles in your way through teaching you things which are contrary to the gospel Paul has passed on to us. If you are unsure of what that is, then refer to Romans verses 1 to 8 and the series which we just concluded last week. Keep away from people who cause divisions and teach other gospels, for such people are not serving Jesus Christ, Paul tells us. Next, we have to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Being wise about good is about putting good into practice. So not just believing good in theory, but living it out. And like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, we will have a firm foundation. And of course, wise people are those, Jesus tells us, who put into practice his teachings after hearing them. If you want some more clear instructions on the teachings of Jesus, then refer to our Mammoth 21-week series from last year on all the direct teachings of Jesus. that are in the Gospels. And being innocent of evil is keeping yourself innocent of doing evil, not being naive about evil. And next, remember that there is no power which can stop the gospel of peace. People under the direction of Satan will try to oppose it, but they won't be successful. We've now got hindsight of history to show this. Now, whenever and wherever the gospel has been tried to be suppressed, it thrives. And finally, above all, the grace of our Lord Jesus is with you. So live in his grace. So that's what Paul leaves the readers of Romans with as he concludes his letter to them. Now, as I said, part of the strangeness of coming to the end of ministry is that there's no more medium and longer term plans whereby you can address things and be a part of the work and work towards goals with people. So now I have a greater appreciation for the ministry that Jesus was engaging in towards the end of his life, knowing that his time was very short. We read of Jesus' last day with his disciples in all four Gospels, in Matthew 26, in Mark 14, Luke 22, and today's Gospel reading in John 13, but also John 13 through to 17. I want you to imagine this scene. I think anyone who's been in ministry understands this scene. Jesus is approaching the last week of his life. And then two of Jesus' best friends, James and John, come up to him with a scheme to get the best positions in heaven. They want to be honored above all other people, second only to Jesus. Make no mistake, that's what they want. Can one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left? My goodness, after 3 years with me, you're still wanting to have positions so that you can be honored above everyone else? You still want prestige and glory and fame? Jesus must have been feeling like, Father, I don't know if I can leave just yet. There is a new type of faith required to let go of ministry and just trust in God with what is going to happen afterwards. Jesus shows that as he gives up his life. Now I'm showing it as I give over this ministry. But it's a different thing. And particularly when you've seen, not here, I'm not talking about you, but particularly when you've seen how people can stuff things up so badly. Anyway, in Jesus' last meal with his disciples, we know that he broke bread and he gave it to his disciples. He gave them the cup saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it for the remembrance of me." And in doing so, announcing that the beginning of the new covenant would come into effect with his death and resurrection. But after this, Jesus also did something else, which John records for us. Jesus washes the disciples' feet in a way a servant would. Masters never washed their disciples' feet like this. And we can see that this is true by the rejection of the concept that Peter has as Jesus suggests this idea. He cannot deal with this situation. If anyone is going to serve anyone, it's going to be the disciples washing Jesus' feet at least. And so Peter, as Peter does, jumps up and interjects and just says, "No, you will never wash my feet." But then Jesus says, "Look, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then, of course, upon hearing this, Peter then goes full the other extreme. "Well, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus is like, "No, you're not quite got what I mean. This is not about making you clean. You are clean through your faith in me. This is about allowing me to serve you and to set for you an example to follow. You can't do this Christian life without allowing me, not me, but Jesus, with allowing me to serve you. And I really need you to get the importance of being servants to one another. Do you know that Jesus still serves us today as if he is our servant in humility? Do you know he does that for you to this very day? Jesus isn't just Lord lifted high in heaven. Jesus still chooses to come to us and chooses to humbly serve us. And how much do you not deserve Jesus serving you? But he does. And he helps you with everything in your life. Are you humbled by that? I mean, you should be. And it should serve as your motivation to serve others, especially those who don't deserve it. We are to serve others as we have been served by Jesus. And the ultimate way Jesus served us was by dying for us, taking our sin upon him. But he laid down his life. Are we willing to lay down our lives for others? Are we willing to let go of our pride, our ego, our being justified in feeling hurt at the way we've been treated for the good of others? Do we always try to do our best for others and the church community? Being served and serving is what relationships in the church and between Christians are to look like. Mutual service. Are we willing to live our lives serving each other in true humility? Using our gifts and abilities and positions to serve rather than as paths to being honored above others. Jesus washes the disciples' feet to make an unforgettable impression so that the disciples and so that the church will never forget what it means to be in relationship with others as his followers. This is one of the two key acts Jesus does in his final meal with his disciples to prepare them for when he is gone. And so I want to pass it on to you as I prepare to go. Please serve one another in the love and affection of Christ. And watch out for those who will stop you from doing this. It is important to have a firm grasp of the gospel. Following the foot washing, Jesus would spend considerable time explaining to the disciples and comforting them with the assuredness of their salvation, how Jesus would be present with them after his death, and also the promise of the Holy Spirit who would help them. And all of this are key components of a full understanding of the gospel. And following Paul's greeting, he sets out the need to continue in love and unity, to not allow false teachings to bring divisions and eventually prevent ministry from occurring, and also to know that we live in the power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important to know what the true gospel is, but it is in our friendships with each other, in our affections for one another, where we live out the gospel as the people of God. And it is in the list of greetings which shows the depth of love Paul shared with fellow Christians as he went about his ministry and spreading the gospel. He wanted those people who were in Rome that he knew to know his admiration and his affection for them had not waned. He remembers them fondly and honors them before the church in Rome. Quality relationships with each other as we live serving God are such an integral part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and they bring so much joy to our lives. We are to be a blessing to each other. So thank you, my friends, my fellow workers in Christ. Thank you for the times we've shared. You are all greatly loved by myself and Lizzie. even more by Jesus, just so we set that straight, but you are also loved by us. But thank you for being a blessing to us. Your names are engraved on my heart and Lizzie's heart for the rest of our lives. Our affection for you will continue on. Hold on to the gospel of Christ and live it out, especially in the love and affection you show to one another as you journey together as followers of Christ. Amen.